I don't know the words to it, so I have to read it if you don't mind. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I say it clear, I state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived, life is full, I traveled each and every highway and more. Much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway. Oh, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, there was doubt. I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I had my fill, my share of losing. And now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. I did it my way. Oh, what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the word he truly feels. And not the word, the word he feels. The record shows I took a blow.
Good advice. Good advice. No matter what they say, do it your way. Don't wait till it's too late. Always do it your way. White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. White Aryan Resistance Radio calling. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana, right by Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Phyllis Station. That's right in front of our weapons of mass destruction used equipment yard. We've got a bigger yard than Cheney and even George Bush Jr. Our yard's much bigger. We got better suppliers. We got those Chinese boys and their junks out there gathering up equipment from all over the world, especially the Middle East. It's getting to be a little problem because we keep getting outbid at the auctions by ISIS. That pisses me off. But we still got enough equipment here to keep you going for the... What, fall offensive, summer offensive, spring offensive? Well, too late for the spring offensive. Yeah, we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your all your dough men. That's where you send your donations for the radio show. Get it in here. Get it in here. It's the 7th. Should be in here by now. A lot of you have already got it in there. But remember, we're giving you 6 hours of excellent, brilliant commentary a week. Stuff you can't get anywhere else, because they wouldn't give it to you. Anyhow, man, we're not the right wing. We're not the left wing. We're the white wing. Yeah, the white wing. White racial separation. Everything we have to say is tied to white separation and the laws of nature. We love Mother Nature. I've had a love affair with Mother Nature ever since I was a kid. Still do. And that's the way it goes, moving west. There used to be a afternoon western show on TV back when it was black and white TV, and they called It Happened That Way, Moving West. It was a live western serial, like these women watch, only this was not like the women watch. This was more of a guy thing, but it was really something. It was quite an experiment. A live black and white cowboy opera, not a soap opera, a cowboy opera. I wonder if anybody out there remembers that. That was pretty cool. It didn't last long, but it was good while it lasted. Now, yesterday I screwed up a little bit because I was trying to add a little audio comment to some of those news stories, and I had the comment turned way up too high, so you probably thought I was drunk on my ass. You might have thought I was over at Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse before I came in here. But no, I guarantee you I haven't been drinking. I just screwed up, man. I don't know whether I'll try that again. But I love to comment on their articles. Well, boys and girls, the old phone number's back up again. So we got two phone numbers up there. And I just put a message up there, a test message yesterday. Oh, incidentally, all you Russia fans, latest information is 200,000 to 300,000 people a year are committing suicide in Russia because they can't get pain medicine for their pain for cancer and so forth. So you might want to know that before you plan your escape to Russia. And one of the reasons is that the doctors are scared to death to prescribe pain pills because they're afraid to be rostered by the cops in Russia. Well, boys and girls, it don't make any difference where you go. You know, it's always the guys at the top are running the show and they're screwing with the little people. So if you think you're going to run from one country to another and find nirvana in this beautiful situation, you better think again. I know a lot of people moving down to Central America and South America. Well, they change governments quite often. If they change their mind about something, their constitution doesn't mean crap. So if you buy a house down there, you better just rent. If you're going to go down there to Central and South America, just rent a place. Just remember, no government can be trusted. No government ever was trustworthy, and no government ever will be trustworthy, because that's where the money is and that's where the crimes are committed. Well, I see the Jewish outfits, the AJC, AJC Global, has urgently requested that Europe's leaders prioritize the fight against the growing threat of anti-Jewism. Yep. In Brussels, at the conclusion of the AJC's strategy conference on combating anti-Jewism, the AJC executive director, David Harris, let's see what he says here, the American Jewish Committee, now operating in Europe, it's quite a ways from the United States, calls on political institutions of the European Union and its member states to express at the highest levels a fundamental commitment to fight anti-Jewism. Number one, head of state must speak out clearly and sincerely in support of the Jews. Members of the European Parliament and members of the National Parliament should seek out or create platforms to affirm solidarity with targeted communities and identify and censure the purveyors of this hate. Wait a minute. I thought you hated the Nazis. You hated the fact. Who hates who here? Jewish communities and the general public need to hear directly from the European leaders that we pay off, that anti-Jewism violates core European principles and will not be tolerated. Well, that's not true. Maybe true in the last few decades, but it sure wasn't true in the past. Anti-Semitism, and they actually had an anti-Semitic parties all over Europe. This is a central message. Anti-Jewism is not only an attack on Jews, but on Europe. On Europe and its values. Oh, I see. Jews express the values of Europe. What is that, sir? Civil society, including the faith leaders, the churches, and other opinion shapers, mind controllers, should be summoned to carry the message that anti-Jewism is socially, politically, and religiously unacceptable. You hear that? Run for your lives, you anti-Jew people. Recognizing the European Commission's planned its first annual colloquium on fundamental rights, according to Jews, in October 2015, AJC calls for the development of an implementation in the earliest possible moment of a comprehensive plan of action to combat the ominous rise of anti-Jewism across Europe, evidenced by the repeated terror attacks. Wait a minute. I thought you wanted everybody to be able to come into Europe. Weren't you the liberal race mixer people that wanted everybody to come in? No borders, no nothing?
Well, we didn't mean that. That was just for the Jewish people.
Okay. EU polls showing mounting fear among Jews. Well, of course, that's because the Jewish leaders spread paranoia among the Jews. They always did, always will. That's the way they control them. And a sharp increase in reported anti-Jew incidents, such a plan should include community involvement. We got to get everybody fight for the Jews. Clear lines of authority.
Okay.
Centralized coordination at the national level. Got to take control of the laws, man. Get all the cops going against these anti-Jew people. Achievable goals and sufficient funding. Whoa, there we go. Got to be money in there so that these guys can run around Europe in nice new cars and drink fine wine. And a long-term commitment. While words are important, concrete and sustained actions are even more significant. You realize how little this bullshit means? They just do it every 6 months or a year. Going on here, the AJC says security. Europe must take urgent steps to assure the physical security of Jew communities and their members and institutions. Well, how are you going to do that when you filled your countries up with Islamics? You always create your own enemies. Jews across the continent experienced a surge in anti-Jew violence and threats last summer. Not that much. There's more violence in Chicago on Saturday night in the nigger community than you get all year long over there. At the time of the Hamas-instigated conflict with Israel, Hamas-instigated, seemed to me that Israel went in and bombed the shit out of them, killed 2,000 or 3,000 people. More recently, even after repeated attacks on the Jew sites, and even after being alerted to the specific threats to their Jew citizens, too many jurisdictions across Europe withheld or provided only token police protection. We've got to have a fascist state to protect the Jews, remember that. And all cops must be devoted to protecting Jews. Nobody else. While others, including France, mobilized a massive scale. Well, they mobilized a massive scale to let all the people in from North Africa, too. Welcome, Muslims. Welcome, Muslims. You can take over France. And now, hey, stop that. You're picking on the Jews. What a confused bunch those French are. Well, everybody's confused over there. AJC calls on European governments to undertake through analysis of the security of their Jew communities. Retain outside expertise as needed. Oh, yeah, we'll ship you all the experts you want, but they're going to charge lots of money. You know, they like the money. Enlist law enforcement authorities and provide the required training and the funds to respond appropriately. Don't worry about Muslim crimes throughout France. Just go after somebody who offends a Jew. They must ensure the police, intelligence agencies, and the Jewish community, security officials, are all engaged cooperatively and fully prepared to avert new dangers. Because you know, there's always new dangers to Jews. Always. They're just around the corner, the Nazis. Assessment. The dimensions and the sources of the mounting anti-Jew threat must be analyzed and acknowledged. We got to think about this. While European officials have widely recognized the traditional sources of anti-Jewism, such as those coming from the extreme right, wait a minute, most of my positions are to the left. Wait a minute. How come it's always the extreme right? That's sort of weird. You're telling me there's no anti-Jews on the left? I'll kick your ass. Many have been slow to confront the news sources. Oh, yeah. The media gets it going. Start the fire, media! Manifestations of this phenomenon include not only violent attacks from radical Islamics, but also troubled attitudes and expressions from the extreme left. Oh, there you go. And from other segments of Muslim and Arab communities. Well, you asked for it, Jaime. Now you got it. If governments are to be successful in dealing with the problem in the short term via enhanced security, we got to see 5 cops stationed in front of every Jew house and 200 cops in front of every Jew synagogue. And in the longer term, via education, mind-bending, and other remediation, they need detailed information. Well, why don't you just arrest people who do something and convict them or try them with a jury like everybody else does? If governments are to be successful in dealing with the problem in the short term via enhanced security, and in the longer term via education and other remediation, they need detailed information. This will come through attitude surveys, door to door, checking people out, that identify the sources of the prejudice, as well as government collection of precise data on anti-Jew hate crimes and the people that may commit them at any moment, any time of day, including information on the perpetrators. They're everywhere. Even though all EU governments are party to the OSCE, whatever that is, commitments on data collection, many fall short. Well, how about data collection on Jews? Is that okay? No! Wait a minute. We got to be democratic if we're going to gather information on radical Islamics and dastardly white Aryans. We got to collect it on the radical Jews. Wait a minute. We're God's chosen people. You can't do that to us. Come on. Back off. Well, that goes on for pages and pages. I'm not going to bore you anymore because Jews love to talk. And then let everybody else fight their battles for them. Like the 5,000 American troops who have basically given their life to the Moloch Jew society. Whoever sent this to me, greetings, Tom. Last time we checked, the American Jewish Committee only had 2 or 3 full-time people in their Brussels office. Yet they intend to accomplish so much. Ha ha. Thank you for that. I will tell them, if wishes were horses, we'd all take a ride. Oh, I forgot to remind you yesterday. Guess who is defending America from all our enemies? Well, you know, the Pentagon, the Joint Chiefs, and the Marines, and the Army, and the Navy. Guess where they're defending America at? They're surrounding Russia. They're all over the borders of Russia playing war games. Did you know that? U.S. troops are defending America by having war games around the borders of Russia. Now, what would happen if the Russians were having war games on the border of Mexico? Oh, they wouldn't do that. Well, why shouldn't they? If the Mexican government said, come on in here, you know, like Kiev, you know, that country is not even a member of NATO. So how can they use the defense of our country because we're a part of NATO? But they invite U.S. troops to be doing war games on the border? You see, our government is a warmonger government. The Pentagon is a warmongering institution. And they're always trying to push things along so they can get something going, because why? It's not about the defense of the United States. It never was. It's about big money. Big money in the arms-making business. Big money. Don't forget that. Next time you talk to your white friends down at the mental institution called a church, ask them, how come we're defending America by putting troops on the border of Russia? Why is that? Why don't we just defend America, North America? We'll even throw in, we'll defend the Canadians, because they're pretty good people. What about that? Start asking people around, what the hell? What the hell? All it takes is one guy to do something weird or press the wrong button over there in their war games and send a missile over into Russia, and away we go. So if you want to get rid of warmongers, most of them, 85% at least, are in this country. They're either in the Pentagon or they're in all these federal institutions, or the predatory capitalists that are using all this nation building and all this shit just to rob people of their goodies all over the world. And then when the government resists and says, we don't want you to have all our goodies, and they say, okay, if you don't want to give us all your goodies, we'll send the goddamn Marines in here and the Special Forces and the Navy and everybody and kick your ass. Or you can sell out your people, sell all their goodies, and no matter what it is, gold, silver, trees, water, give us all that stuff and we'll leave you alone. In fact, we'll make you rich, Mr. Dictator of that country. Come on, open up your billfold, let us put all these greenbacks in there, baby. Oh, you didn't explain it that way before. Okay, I'll do that. Boy, old Nitwit has taken Israel down the road to destruction, man. He's teamed up with a guy who had 8 seats in the Knesset, and that's all he needed to form a limp-wristed government. And this guy's the head of the radical right-wing end of the Jewish settlers who want to kill all the Palestinians. They moved in there and built all their houses right on top of Palestinian lands. And that's going to be the part of the government of Israel now, which is going to make Israel's government the most right-wing. And when I say right-wing, I say right-wing in a negative way, government Israel's had. And now they've also promised all the extreme Orthodox kooks over there, they're going to let them have their welfare check from the government just for being Jews and studying the damn Torah. Yeah, they pay these Jews just to study the Torah, and they don't have to go in the military. That's what they got out of the deal. Boy, I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to be living in Israel. I don't think things are boding too good over there. Those secular Jews and those liberal Jews better get on the ball. Boy, they're in for a bad future. Bibi has turned out to be worse than Sharon. Yeah, worse than Sharon. That's pretty hard to do. Or Begin. Yeah, worse than Begin, too. And you thought Israel was going on forever because the holy God in the heaven protects it. Believe me, the Jews at the top know better. But as long as they can get old wacky Sammy, Uncle Sammy, to give them all these fantastic death weapons, I guess they can say, well, we're going down the tube, so let's press the button and let loose all these atomic bombs. Do you ever stop to think how they make heroes out of people like Oppenheimer, the father of the hydrogen bomb, and Einstein, who got us into this nuclear stuff in the first place? Do you stop and think what a rotten situation that was, and they should not be looked up to? I think we could have been gotten along much better if we had not even developed atomic energy, especially since a good share of that is used to develop weapons to kill massive numbers of people and may end up still in a World War III killing people everywhere. So, but everybody makes heroes out of these guys. I saw a deal on Picker's show last night where this guy had a 1905, I believe it was, typewriter that he had somehow in college ran into Einstein. And he let him, Einstein wanted to use this typewriter, and evidently Einstein used it to write, type all these letters to FDR. Believe me, there's other ways to get energy. Atomic energy is probably the worst, because anytime anything could be good, it's always misused. That's the problem. To where you're better off doing it the hard way, you know? Maybe we need to go back to horse and buggy, man. I could do that. I see these Amish people all the time. I go up here to just a few miles from me, and they're trotting along in their horses. Got radios in their buggies. Got steel beams and stuff on them, and they seem to be surviving okay. In fact, they got more money in the bank than any of you people, I'll tell you that. So what's BB Nitwit going to do next? Now that he's formed this government, I don't think this government's going to last very long in Israel. Because that settler bunch and their 8 seats, they could bolt the party any time, and then what's he got left? BB will have nothing left. But you can't blame Bibi in the right wing in Israel for bringing all those Ethiopian nigger Jews in there. I don't think so. I think that was the crazy brainchild of the religious nuts in Israel. We found nigger Jews. Where are they at? Well, they're in Ethiopia. No shit? Well, they must be God's chosen people too. Let's bring them all over here and open up the doors and let them in. Give them free houses. Give them welfare checks. Give them jobs. Put them in the army and let them go kill Palestinians. Hell yes, let's do that.
In Tel Aviv, time to clear away the wreckage of weekend disturbances, which briefly brought the city to a halt. And in Jerusalem, equally hasty attempts underway to repair the political damage. The young soldier who innocently finds himself at the center of this unrest was invited to meet the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. Mr. Netanyahu told Damas Picada that he was mortified by a video which showed the young conscript being beaten by Israeli police officers. The video appears to show the police acting without justification. It brought angry protesters onto the street, determined to force their charges of racism and discrimination onto the national agenda. They are not inclined to trust their politicians. On Sunday, in Tel Aviv, that anger boiled over. Police say protesters tried to force their way into the headquarters of the city council. The clashes that followed were angry and intense. Police struggled to restore order. The government, stung by comparisons with African-American anger at police attitudes in the United States, is appealing for calm. Israel's Ethiopian Jewish minority was brought here in a series of airlifts stretching back to the 1980s. The weekend disturbances were a sharp reminder that they don't feel the way they've been treated now they're in Israel has ever matched the generosity of the impulse that brought them here. Kevin Connolly, BBC News, Jerusalem.
When are they going to learn? I don't think they ever will. Non-homogeneous societies work best. And that doesn't mean a country that everybody's a Jew on religion or Christianity or Muslim or anything else. The best countries at the core are homogeneous people. Always have been, always will be. I heard a guy call in on the Washington update this morning, and I tried to find it. I think I recorded it someplace, and he explained the whole thing. He did very well. The reason for all the problem, or most of the problems, is non-homogeneity, non-homogeneous people. You're trying to diversity is bullshit. Of course, it's bullshit. It's always been bullshit. That's not even the meaning of diversity. You know, the dictionary is pretty interesting about diverse. Diverse, unlike in characteristics. Well, let's keep it that way. Diversify, no, that's not it. Diversion, the act of diverting from a course of activity. Well, we've got the wrong kind of activity, so let's diverse from it. Divert, to undress or strip, whoa, wait a minute, especially of clothing or dispossesses of property. That's a weird meaning for divert, to undress or strip. Wow, jeez. Man, I'm telling you, you can't even trust a dictionary anymore. While we're at it, let's look at equal. Yeah, equal, I keep telling you, is nonsense. Equal, to be of the same measurement. Well, that don't even work out if you're measuring penises. To be of the same measurement. That's nonsense. Nobody's of the same measurement. One gal's got beautiful happy bags and the other one don't. I mean, come on. Equalitarian, the idea that all men are equal. They don't say women. That's very discriminatory right there. Just the men are equal. Okay, there you go. There you go. That's a Webster's large print dictionary, which is not a very good one, I'll tell you that. I can't use that. However, it did all right on the stuff we're talking about. And, of course, the guy that supposedly I was encouraging people to kill up in Portland, Oregon, guess what? An Ethiopian. Like I told him, I want to load them all up on boxcars and ships and send them all back to Ethiopia. I don't want to go after them one at a time, for Christ's sake. Almost nobody printed that I want to get rid of them all, baby. Yeah, load them up, ship them out. Give them a hamburger. Yeah, give them a McDonald's hamburger, some French fries, and a Coke, and ship them on home. Back where they can be homogeneous. In Ethiopia. Yeah. And since they're inferior Negroes, they can all starve and together. I mean, it's a homogeneous black thing. Just like here, where it's in a black community, black neighborhood. All equally poor, all equally selling drugs. I'm exaggerating. But it's true, though. All equally screwed up. They're homogeneous. Well, let's see how the Jews are getting along in Uzbekistan. Long persecuted Bukhara Jews. One of the world's oldest Jew communities is facing extinction amid a mass exodus to Israel and the United States. Uzbekistan, all their Jews are coming over. Get ready, boys. Meet them at the dock with a lunchbox. Here they come. I wish they'd all go to Israel, though. That would hurry up the situation over there. Well, they're all upset in the sports community. Goal.com's online terms of message contract forbids threatening, abusive, libelous, defamatory, obscene, vulgar, offensive, pornographic, profane, sexually explicit, or indecent language, promotes violence, discrimination based on race, sex, religion, nationality, disability, sexual orientation, or age, likely to harass, upset, embarrass, or alarm any other person. Then they say, keep politics and religion out of a beautiful game of soccer. How about that? Well, I guess that covers about everybody, doesn't it? You guessed it, the Simon Wiesenthal, the Weaselthal people love it. They like that. They're probably going to add some more on there, too. Yeah, in a letter to the UEFA, Union of European Football Association, President Michael Platini, the Simon Wiesenthal Center Director for International Relations, Dr. Shimon Samuels, drew attention to the constant incitement and offenses against the State of Israel on the Arabic site of Goal.com, a website that prides itself in having a global constituency of over 64 million fans. Wow. A classic example, see the photo and caption, uppercase for emphasis, reads the translation from Saturday, the 28th of March, 2015. Sammy Ofer Stadium, Haifa, the accepted territories Wales decided to enter the 2016 UEFA Cup Finals for the first time ever after defeating the Zionist entity team of the city of Haifa in the occupied territories with three straight goals. This was the first Zionist loss in the playoffs. Oh, you can't call Jews Zionists, even though many are. Samuels noted that Zionist entity is deemed as denying the legitimacy of the State of Israel and the very right to sovereignty of the Jewish people, unquote. Another article celebrated how the occupied Palestinian territories, Zionist teams, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Tel Aviv, and Hapoel Beersheba were unable to play in the summer of 2014 due to Palestinian Hamas shelling. Samuels added, calling Haifa, Tel Aviv, and Beersheba occupied territories in effect deletes all of Israel from the map. Wow. Another recounts how Bosnian striker Edin Dzeko will not participate in the UEFA Euro 2015 qualifier against the Zionist enemy in the Arab city of Jerusalem. The center argued that this language violates Goal.com's online terms of message and constant use on content use, which forbids any expression that is threatening, abusive, libelous, defamatory, obscene, vulgar, offensive, pornographic, profane, sexually explicit, or indecent, or anti-kosher. 5.7.3 promotes violence. 5.7.4, that promotes discrimination based on race, sex, religion, nationality, disability, sexual orientation, or age. 5.7.10, that will likely to harass, upset, embarrass, or alarm any other person. Well, you can't go to any goddamn ball game without somebody offended you. I mean, you better not go to the old Brooklyn Dodgers games. Remember those? Remember Casey Stengel and all the boys? Remember Billy Martin kicking dirt on the umpires and everything? Shit. Boy, they break every rule in the book about offending people. The letter pointed out to the example of how far such words can reach, occurring this on Friday, 1st of May when Raja Casablanca FC president Mohamed Bourica protested violence on the pitch by the Algerian Wycoffe Steff team to epithets from their club president Hassan Hammer, calling the Moroccan team Jews, Jews, Jews. Samuel claimed that multiple appeals to Goal.com London headquarters have remained unanswered, continuing a similar complaint to the pan-European sports network Eurosport. So take that. The head of the International Media Relations replied Eurosport's editorial policy is not to express any political or religious views, and this is a standard we intend to maintain. We ain't talking about it. Go fish, kike. Mr. President, these words are the very hallmark of the beautiful game that we urge UEFA's support in ensuring that Goal.com take the necessary measures for its Arabic website to act in a similar manner, concluded Samuels. Well, I would go to Goal.com and look it over, man. It looks to be more Nazism on that website than on the Nazi websites. Incidentally, do you ever notice every movie that comes out that has anything to do with Germany, it's the Nazi. The Nazis, they don't say the German nation. They don't say the German army most of the time. They don't say the German navy. It's always the Nazi. Well, how come you wouldn't say to the Japanese every time you refer to them, the Shintoist, which was the religion of the military people in Japan, the Shinto nation? No, they'd say Japan. They always say Japan. But when it's Germany, it's always Nazi Germany. No, that'd be like saying, the Republican nation for the United States, or the Democrat nation, like a political party. National Socialist Party was a political party. It was, and they had the support of most of the Germans in Germany, that's for sure. But it always has to be Nazi, which is not even a word other than it was constructed by encouragement from the Jews after the war. Nazi, Nazi, Nazi. I don't know any National Socialist that refers to himself as a Nazi. I mean, because the National Socialist Workers' Party was a party. Not a Nazi. Nazi doesn't mean anything. Neo-Nazi means even less. But they get away with it because they say, let's get together and make it mean something. Yeah. You know, on an Israel problem, I know where the Jewish Defense League is at. They're anti-Ethiopian Jew, I'll bet you anything. Just like Irv Rubin didn't care for the blacks in this country very much. In fact, it was probably the blacks that threw him off the second tier of the federal jail downtown. He didn't commit suicide. That's all bullshit. And I'll bet you it was the black Muslims that got him. Probably not a white group or a white individual. It's probably the blacks. His wife, Shelley, always said he was murdered. I think he was, too. He was just tossed off the second tier or third tier of the federal jail. And if Mark Ahana was still around, he'd be demonstrating against these Ethiopian Jews, too. Things get a little confusing, doesn't it, boys and girls? Those white-skinned Jews had white skin for so long they begin to believe they're Aryan, man. Well, there was a time when workers stuck together, and especially white workers, especially under the UAW and some of them, and even Samuel Gompers, a Jew who headed up the union, wouldn't let blacks in the union. But they had this song called, Which Side Are You On, Boy? Let's play that and see what you think. Okay.
Come all you good workers, good news to you I'll tell of how the good Lord.
There's a good old union song back when the workers had balls and they weren't sitting around in right-to-work states thinking they're fat, dumb, and happy and getting paid less, sometimes getting paid half. Shit. And the Republicans keep griping about labor unions. Labor unions only represent about 8% of the country, the workers. I mean, they want to, I mean, let's face it, they want to wipe them all the way out, man. They want no unions, no representation. Now, I'm not saying the unions always did right, but I'm telling you, if they hadn't been around, boy, it would have been a pretty messed up deal for millions of people. Guess what? You're not going to believe this. The president black wife of the secretary of, what the hell was he? I forget what he was now. Mr. Cohen, whatever department he's the head of, she's written a play, and she combines the death of Emmett Till, the black kid who was beat to death down south way back in the 60s for, they say, just whistling at a white woman, which I've always had my doubts about that, and Anne Frank. So she's got this play that includes Anne Frank and Emmett Till in the play, and they're going around the country with this play. Now, I can imagine what an abortion this play is, but that shows you. Now, she wouldn't have any position in society at all if it wasn't for a Jew husband. That gives her the power, you know. So anyhow, next time it comes to your town, you might want to go see that play that combines the story of Anne Frank and Emmett Till, the black boy who got beat to death down in Mississippi. I think it was Mississippi. Yeah. Black people are pissed off, man. Here's what they say. Let's start with preschool. Black preschoolers are far more likely to be suspended than white children. Black children make up 18% of the preschool population, but represent almost half of all out-of-school suspensions because they're hanging from the chandeliers, baby. They're uncontrollable. I mean, you go into a school and watch how the blacks act and then say, well, that's just discrimination. Once you get to K-12, black children are three times more likely to be suspended than white children because of their activities. Black students make up almost 40% of all school expulsions, and more than two-thirds of students referred to police from schools are either black or Hispanic, says the Department of Education. Well, if they sat quietly in their seats and did their studies, I don't think that would happen. Do you? It's always the white man. He's always after him. He's always screwing him, man. You go crazy in school and they kick you out. They suspend you. Smoking in the bathroom like Charlie Brown? You're out of here, man. Even disabled black children suffered from institutional racism. Now, this is just somebody's opinion that you don't know who in the hell it is. About a fifth of disabled children are black. Now, I think it's about 75% are disabled mentally. And they account for 44 to 42% of disabled students put in mechanical restraints or placed in seclusion. Shut your mouth, I'm going to lock you in the closet, boy. If you don't shut up then, I'm going to send you home or the cops going to come and get you. When juveniles hit the court system, it discriminates against blacks as well. It's horrible, man. That's why we got to get away from white people. You got to tell all the black people, we's got to get away from these horrible, mean, criminal, sons of bitch, and white people. They're just terrible. Black children are 18 times more likely to be sentenced as adults than white children. Well, they don't give the reasons for that, though. It's just discrimination. And make up nearly 60% of the children in prisons. Wow. According to the APA, whoever the hell that is. Black juvenile offenders are much more likely to be viewed as adults in juvenile detention proceedings than their white counterparts because younger black kids commit more severe crimes. Dummy. Baltimore and... No, that's not... In the workplace, black college graduates are twice as likely as whites to struggle to find jobs. Well, that's because we are racist. Of course we're racist. I've never denied I was racist. No good white man should deny he's racist. Of course I'm racist. We want racial separation. You don't like us, we don't like you. Let's separate. Let's divorce ourselves from the black race. Let's get a divorce, baby. This ain't working out. The jobless rate for blacks has been double than that from whites for decades. That's because they're not as capable as most whites. Too bad for the small percentage of blacks that can do well and are pretty smart guys, you know, and women. But they're dragged down by the bulk of the race. A study even found that people with black-sounding names had to send out 50% more job applications than people with white-sounding names just to get a call back. Well, look around and see the actions of Willie Washington Brown. Do you really want to rent an apartment to Willie Washington Brown? Yeah. In the workplace, black college... No, wait a minute. I got the wrong thing there, boy. And it gets worse the higher up the pay scale you go. For every $10,000 increase in pay, blacks' percentages are holding that jobs fall by 7% compared to whites. I'm sorry, the black race just don't cut it. Are you ever going to get that message? And the more you're around white people, the more it's going to be glaringly evidence, and you have to make excuses that the white man just don't like us. He discriminates against us. The disparities exist in our neighborhoods and communities. About 73% of whites own homes compared to just 43% of blacks. Maybe that's because white people stay on the job as long as possible. If they've got a job, they stick with it. And maybe they do save a little bit more money. Or maybe they, when they get a loan, they pay their house payments. Maybe that has something to do with it. The gap between median household income for whites is about $91,000 compared to blacks at about $7,000 is staggering. If you keep drinking that Ripple and Thunderbird, you're never going to get any place. Or I guess now it's mostly the crack and stuff like that. And that gap has tripled in just the past 25 years. The median net worth of white families is about $265,000, while it was just $28,500 for blacks. It's all got to be because those white people hate our ass. Got nothing to do with our abilities, nothing to do with our criminality, nothing to do with all that. It's just that white man don't like us. Well, maybe that's true. Maybe that's all it is. We're so hateful, we're so bad, so separate from us, please. For your best interest, so you can make lots of money and get good jobs. Go someplace where it's all black. Like Black Zion. I got a book in my library about Black Zion back in the 70s. All these black radicals in the United States started going back to Africa. They got off the boat with those big-ass hairdos and with a comb sticking in them, and the blacks in Africa wanted to kill them. They hated them. Blacks in Africa want to deal with a white man. They don't trust a black man. They don't trust a black man. Black man is 3 times more likely to be searched at a traffic stop and 6 times more likely to go to jail than a white person. Well, maybe white people don't talk as much like black people. Blacks make up nearly 40% of the arrests for violent crimes. Well, I'm sure there's some errors in that, mistakes. Probably some people are persecuted a little bit, but not like that. They're out there doing crazy shit and they get arrested. And then they go in there and the detectives put them in a room and ask them questions, and they talk themselves right into jail. If I should be the lawyer for the black race, and every time a black guy gets arrested, I'd be there with a baseball bat, hit him over the head and say, "Now here's the lesson. Don't talk. Rastas, don't say anything." Because they put him in those rooms, those interrogations rooms, and they talk. And they talk themselves right in on murder charges and everything else. Watch them on TV. Another thing, if you want to watch something funny, watch Hardcore Pawn out of Detroit. If you want to see how blacks act, or a good share of them act, watch Hardcore Pawn. It's hilarious. They have to have great big black guys at the store to toss these guys out, these women that go crazy. Blacks aren't pulled over more frequently because they're more prone to criminal behavior. No, they're pulled over much more frequently because there is an implicit racial association of black Americans with dangerous and aggressive behavior. The Sentencing Project found, well, of course, we are racist. We'll always be racist. You're never going to get rid of racism. And if we were in an all-black country and we were a few whites, you'd be racist against us. Racism is Mother Nature's way of doing things. And you ain't never going to fool Mother Nature. The numbers get ridiculous in certain parts of the country. No, they get realistic. The project found on the New Jersey Turnpike, for instance, blacks make up 15% of the drivers, more than 40% of the stops, and 73% of the arrests, even though they break traffic laws at the same rate as whites. Well, they probably mouth off to the cops. Or they probably got drugs in the car, or they probably got somebody's refrigerator in the back of their Volkswagen or something that they just stole. In New York City, blacks and Hispanics were three or four times as likely to be stopped and frisked as whites. Oh, that's because we're racist. How many times do I have to tell you? Of course, white people, whether they like it or not, whether they're liberal or conservative, genetically, they're racist. There's, in their subconscious, there's racism. Only liberals try to overcome it. They go to extremes, try to overcome it when they know they're racist. If a black person kills a white person, they are twice as likely to receive the death sentence as a white person who kills a black person. Local prosecutors are much more likely to upgrade a case to felony murder if you're black than if white. That's because they're pretty sure they can get a conviction. They go to see prosecutors just want convictions. They don't give a shit if you're black or white. And if you're stupid and you talk and give evidence against yourself, they're going to nail you just to put their put another notch in their belt. That's what prosecutors do. They just want convictions. That's all they care about. So blacks are easy to get convictions on because they talk.
Yeah, I was there, but Washington Brown did it. Well, how do you know? Well, I was standing there with him, you know.
Racial bias in jury selection is ridiculous. Qualified black jurors are illegally turned away as much as 80% of the time in the jury selection process because they're so stupid they don't understand the law or anything. I mean, you know, we're not talking about every black, of course, but the majority, you know, the small percentage of blacks who've got it together are totally at the mercy of the massive amounts of stupid criminal blacks in society. That liberal tendencies and liberal laws in this country have really promoted. It wasn't near as bad under segregation for blacks. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? They were doing better under segregation because they were separated. You jam them together with white people and all hell breaks loose. The result, about a quarter of the jury's death penalty cases have no black jurors. And that's because we're racist as hell. And more than two-thirds have two or less. Well, they have a trouble finding a qualified black. Simple as that. In voir dire, they question these people on juries to find out whether they got a brain in their head or not. And so they don't find too many blacks with a brain in their head. When a black person is accused of killing a white person and the jury consists of five or more white males, the odds go way up for a death penalty verdict. Defense lawyers and prosecutors know that having just a single black man on the jury substantially changes the odds. Oh, man, something else, you know. If you read this from a black point of view, you can see exactly where they're coming from. But if you read it from a savvy white guy who's a racist and knows what the score is, but if I were on a jury, I wouldn't convict a guy just because he's black. I'm sorry, that's just the way I am. If they didn't have the evidence to convict, I wouldn't convict. You know, there were perhaps millions or hundreds of thousands of white people under the laws in the South after the Civil War that sat on juries and stuff. They didn't convict every black person who was charged. There were hundreds of thousands of blacks charged that were charged and were found innocent and let go. They never talk about that. You know, normally you would think if that was the way it was down there, that every black person that ever got charged with anything would have been found guilty. That's not true. Somebody needs to write a book about that. Black people stay in prison longer than white people. Well, that's because they get institutionalized. They like it. Three hots in a cot. Drugs. Booze. Sex. Yeah. Up to 20% longer than white people serving time for essentially similar crimes. That's because white people want to get out of there. I got to get out of here. I want to go back. Oh, black people say, hey, this is pretty cool, man. I got all my bros in here. I got my drugs. I got my alcohol. I got anal sex. What the shit? I don't need anything. Don't even have to have a job. They get much harsher sentences. Black people are 38% more likely to be sentenced to death than white people for the same crimes. Well, here again, that's because we're dirty, rotten racists. And the color of the skin of the victim, that has a lot to do with class, you know, and how much money you've got and how good a lawyer you get. And the color of the skin of the victims matters greatly in the punishment for capital crimes. Whites and blacks represent about half the murder victims from year to year, but 77% of the people who are executed killed a white person, while only 13% of death row executions represent those who kill a black person. Well, that's because black people have less value to the capitalists. The capitalists say, well, this guy is more possible, he can make more money in a lifetime. The capitalists say that. So if the capitalists are running, why don't you go up there and do away with the guys at the top, the rich guys? The rich guy, the rich white guys, that's the guys you got to get. I could cite hundreds of other statistics much like these, and we haven't even touched on efforts to suppress voting. Who the hell gives a shit about voting anyhow? Blacks are they're all on the radio, all these black shows, you got to register to vote, you got to register to vote. If voting would change anything, they'd make it illegal. It's ridiculous. They try to put so much emphasis, oh, well, if you don't vote, you can't complain. Well, believe me, the ruling class will not allow you to vote them out or vote them in or vote higher taxes for the rich. It ain't going to happen. What they all point to quite clearly is the institutional racism exists in nearly every corner of American society today. Well, that's the way it was set up. Read the Constitution, remember? This was set up as an all-white nation, and even though we got to play around with some of these laws now, we're still an all-white nation, even though we're not as smart as we used to be. And it's what is driving tension we're seeing on the streets in urban cities. The root causes are what we must deal with, not the symptoms. Well, no, you're always going to riot. Blacks like to riot. And they also are used to running from lions and tigers in Africa. It's genetic. Every time a cop says, hello there, Mr. Rastus, he runs. I'm getting out of here, man. And so the cop says, like the great white hunter in Africa, he's running. That elephant, that lion's running, so I'm going to shoot his ass. That's genetics on both sides, see? That's genetics 101. So the next time you see someone questioning whether institutional racism exists in America, there's an obvious answer to the question. We might not like it, but pretending that it doesn't exist isn't right either. Well, that's because we are racist. We are white races. We're not going to change. Hundreds of millions of years of tribalism and racism are not going to be done away with. It ain't going to happen. But they're going to make a lot of money trying to make it happen. Well, that's it, boys and girls. We've had our fun and games today. I'll be back tomorrow on Freya's Day. That's right. Freya's Day. We'll have a nice song for all you ladies out there, all you she-wolves. 14-5. And go in a corner and sulk and condemn yourself because you're racist. It's terrible. It's terrible. You should bow your head, get in a corner, and cry and pray to the baby Jesus to get rid of that terrible racism.
Shot in New York City, then a white person. A real alarming report. The NYPD conducted the study during the first 6 months of 2013. Of the 567 shooting victims, 74% were black, 21% Hispanic, and less than 3% were white. According to the study, black and Hispanics are more likely to be victims of murder, robbery, rape, and assault.
That's because we're racist. Wow. I'm sorry for the doo-doo. Bye-bye.